And we need to focus on if we can be the Philadelphian church. You know, that was the church. You know what Philadelphia, the word Philadelphia comes from? Philos, it means brotherly love. And the Bible says this is how you'll know that you are my disciples. When you show what? Love one to another. In a world where it's full of hate and division and all kinds of things, we want to be the Philadelphian church. They were the church that showed love. And because of that, the Bible says because they had a little strength, he was going to keep them from the tribulation that was going to come to try the world. And so our theme scripture for this month has been Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And let me turn off some of these lights so you can see real good here. Amen. God is so good, so merciful. We had such a great service last week, and I'm expecting no less this week. Amen. Revelation 3 and verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David." Anyone know where that's found? Ever heard about the key of David? It's in the Old Testament. Something for you to study. "He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth." You ever had a situation where you thought it was impossible? There's no way this is going to work out. I can think of so many that God has opened a door where there was no way possible for it to work. I remember when I was applying for going back to the company after 40 years, they had lost all my records. So as far as they knew, I never worked there. You know, because they couldn't find any evidence I'd worked there. And my school, which was 1978, so that's almost 40 years ago, had gone through, back then they kept records on microfilm. There was no such thing as digital records. So when they were tracing, doing my background check, and they went back to the school didn't have any records because they had transferred it to a different national database, and it was just such a mess trying to get all the records. And I thought, well, this is not working out too good, because they couldn't get the records. All they could say was, we found his name. He had been here 38 years ago, but we transferred those records to the national database, and it was just going to be a mess. And I thought, you know, this doesn't look good. But you know what? God opened the door. God opened the door. And I don't know how he did it really, but he did it. All I knew, the next thing is, says, well, we got the records. Or I don't really know if they got the records, actually. I don't really know what happened, but God opened the door. And that's been my life story. Anytime there's a door that is blocked and I'm supposed to go through it, God opens it. And many times I've tried to open doors I shouldn't have, and God in his mercy just keeps it locked. Amen. Because there is protection in not opening some doors. And there is protection in closing some doors. And we're going to look at that. And our theme, as I said, was open door. And last week, we kind of focused on the door of salvation. The scripture says an entrance had been ministered unto us. This week, we're going to focus on the door of protection. And then we have the door of ministry and the door of the rapture. And so we're going to focus this week on the door of protection. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. It doesn't matter what the devil may tell you if God says yes. And many of you have had so many. I just enjoy Sister Johnny's testimony of the time when they labeled. What did they label on the house? They went and you came home and they had put all these labels on the house. Evicted. You still have the house, don't you? Oh, God is so good. And you've all heard my story so many times when they said they were going to foreclose. And they even sent me a foreclosure letter after a year of trying to refinance and remortgage. They kept on losing the paperwork, for those of you who hadn't heard my story. But God had told me after a year, don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. And so after 16 months, they sent me a letter saying, declined, we're going to foreclose. And I said, this is not going to happen. I refused to believe the letter. And I called up the bank, it was Chase Bank, and I said, hey, this isn't right. And they said, no, this isn't right. No, that's a mistake. No, we're going to wipe out $32,000 of your arrears. And we're going to reduce your monthly payment by $300 a month. And we're going to reduce your principal that you owe us by $80,000. If that isn't a door. No, God, if you trust him, Romans 8:28, everyone knows that, right? And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. When your life is his purpose, the things that happen may not be good, but God will work them to your good. Did you hear me? They may not be good, but God can work them to your good. Amen. Well, we're going to study the door of protection this morning. And protection, as I said, can come in two ways, right? You can be protected, actually, by a door opening. And you can be protected by a door closing. So we're going to look at both of those today. Sometimes it's the opening of a door which releases you from a prison and frees you from a situation. And sometimes it's a door that closes to protect you and keep you safe. But in either case, it's a door of protection. It's a door of protection. And, you know, it was at the Midwinter Conference where the thought really coalesced, because the speaker, Brother Wilson, said, there's two churches in the book of Revelation where doors are mentioned. The Philadelphian church, where God has control of the door. He says, I can open it and I can shut it. And then you have the Laodicean church, who they're in control of the door, because he says, I stand at the outside and knock. Right? That shows you two different churches. One in which they let God control the door, and one in which they had control of the door. And we want to not be like the Laodicean church, because we can't really stop the devil by ourselves anyway. But if he has control of the door, he says, look, when I shut it, it will be shut. When I open it, it will be opened. Amen. So we're going to look at how God works in that way. And probably the first real case of that, apart from the garden, was with Noah. Genesis 7:4. God told Noah, after 120 years of trying to tell people, of trying to warn people that there was judgment coming. Genesis 7:4, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah, the Bible says, found grace in God's eyes. That's what it says. And Noah found grace. That means unmerited favor. But Noah's finding grace would not have been enough. He had to do something, right? God gave him plans for his salvation. And in every event, when God does give grace, there's still something for us to do. We have to respond to that grace. We have to respond to that door of opening. We have to respond to God's message of salvation. So Noah was told there was coming a flood. But Noah, if you want to be saved, there's something you have to do. You have to actually go and do some work. So we're not saved by work. We're not saved by the fact that we're good, but we are saved by response to God's grace. We have to receive it. We have to do something. I was texting someone last night, you know, hadn't seen them for a long time, and I told them in the text not to neglect their spiritual side, that they need to be feeding their spiritual side. So the text that came back was, well, I'm not going to church, but I'm making sure I'm feeding my spiritual side. Well, not quite sure how you do that. God can do that if the situation is forced upon you, but God really wants us to assemble together, because you encourage me, and I can encourage you when we hear about what God has done, when we hear about a healing. And so sometimes we just do not respond to the grace of God. So we see here that in verse 5, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. He could have said, well, you know what? These instructions are kind of crazy. You know, I can take a shortcut. Maybe I'll put two doors in the side of the ark. Maybe I won't seal it quite the way that God told me to seal it. Maybe I'll make it 2 feet shorter. It'll save some wood. There are no shortcuts to God's obedience. There's no shortcuts. There's no doing it your way. The door of protection had to be followed. Verse 6, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Verse 7, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And they that went in male and female, verse 16, of all flesh as God had commanded him. And here's the point I want you to understand. Noah didn't close the door to the ark, and the Lord shut him in. It was God that chose when the door was going to be closed. It was God that closed the door to the ark. If you read the story carefully, they went into the ark and they were there for 7 days with no rain. God allowed another 7 days with the door open, with everybody ready to go, just in case somebody else would respond, just in case someone else would say, Lord, save me. And finally, after an extra 7 days, after they had already gone into the ark, the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door. You know, before judgment comes, it's always going to be God who decides when that is, when the door is going to be shut. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. There is a symbol there. There is a model there. The thing that brought destruction, which was the flood, was also the thing that saved Noah. That's what it says in 1 Peter. They were saved by the water. It was the water that took the ark. And where did the ark go when the water came? It went up. That's a model of what's going to happen when God brings judgment. When he shuts that door to heaven, judgment is going to fall upon this earth. But before judgment comes, he's going to take his people out. And the Lord shut him in. It was God that sealed the door to the ark. You would think such a huge structure should have all kinds of doors in it. But there was, you notice the model? There was only one way in. You know, today when they build jumbo jets, especially the last one they built, which can hold, like I think they can actually pack 800 people in there, they have to build it with many doors, because when they come to an airport, if they only had one door, it would take like 2 hours just to get it loaded up. So they build it with many doors. But that's not how God built the ark. I don't know if any of you have seen pictures of that recreation of Noah's ark that was built in Ohio. It's huge. And I can imagine people looking at Noah and said, you crazy old fool. Look at you. You only put one door in this thing. That was a model. There's only one way in to God's ark of safety. There's not many ways to truth. There's not many ways to God. It's not through Buddhism. It's not through the Quran. It's only through Jesus Christ. I'm getting ahead of my lesson, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. So we see that God shut the door, and then came judgment. This is exactly what's going to happen probably pretty soon. Look at this. God prophesied in Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. If you read Isaiah 26, it's a very strange chapter. It's all about what God is going to do to this earth. It speaks about how he's going to bind the high ones on high with the prison. The earth is going to become a prison. It's going to be just like what happened during the flood, is that the earth is going to experience judgment. But he told his people, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Anyone ever grew up in a place where they used to just leave your doors open? Can you do that today? So I know you grew up. Where did you grow up? Was it Mississippi in the South? And you used to leave your doors open? Can't try that today, can you? In fact, even when it's shut, they don't. That's even when it's shut, people use that as a way of still trying to break in. But here's the key. When he shuts the door, nobody's going to open it. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. This is a prophecy that God is going to take his people out before judgment comes. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 20, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. In some past Bible studies, I've taught about the fact that the blood was given as a covering. Look at this. And the earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So we can see that God is going to shut the door just as he did on the ark. We may be in the last 7-day period. Maybe it's only waiting for that last person who has never heard the gospel truth to hear the truth. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. See, the Old Testament is a model of future fulfillment. The waters that came and was, as judgment came down, the ark went up. And it was carried up by the very thing that was bringing judgment. The Lord is coming, and he's going to bring judgment. I said that the greatest thing that must hurt God is looking at what mankind has done to his creation. You know, there's not a day that goes past that you can't listen to the news or read a newspaper about just some horrible things going on. I mean, just man's just total depravity and inhumanity. And God has put up with that for thousands of years. But there is coming a day when the scripture says, let he that is righteous be righteous still. Let he that is wicked or evil be evil. There is coming a day when judgment is going to fall. But you know what? Just as he found Noah and his family was found, obtained grace. This is what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? If you are in the church, you are not appointed to wrath. We are. The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat, and it's translated judgment, but that's not a judgment of condemnation. It's a reward ceremony. It's a prize giving. Anyone at high school ever got their name called out to go receive a reward? An award? I remember the first time I was 8 years old and I was in, I don't know what you call it here, kindergarten, I don't know what school level is that, grade school? And I had read 3 or 4 books, and for that I got in the assembly, my name was called out, and I went up to get my award. Heaven is going to be a million times greater than that. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for every man to give an account for what he has done. That's not a condemnation, but that is a reward. You know, we don't work to get in the kingdom, but when we're in the kingdom, we should work. Right? It's not a reward for salvation, but it's still a reward for sacrifice. Jesus said, no man hath left father, mother, houses, or land for the gospel of my name's sake, that he shall not what? Receive 100-fold. You cannot give up anything for God that he's not going to give you back. Whatever sacrifice you think you have been through, it will not compare with eternity. Amen. Think about it. If you lived 100 years and all you had was sorrow and pain and unfairness, what would 1,000 years compare to that? What would 1,000,000 years? What would eternity compare to that? God is going to repay everything that you have lost. You know, in the book of Micah, it speaks about a book of remembrance. Every tear that you have shed, every pain and sorrow you have gone through, that you have submitted to him, it's being written down. And he says, when I make up my jewels, You know, in the Bible, it speaks about the books being opened. Not one book, the books. One of the books that's going to be opened is going to be the book of remembrance. The time when you sacrificially gave, the time when you went out of your way to help someone, the time when you could have given back someone a piece of your mind, and instead you cried. Instead you wept. It's all in a book of remembrance. Did you know that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Noah found grace. But when you find grace, that means you react to grace. He then had to actually go build a boat. He could have said, well, thank you, Lord, for warning me that there's a flood coming. I think I'll just sit it out here and expect you to then just fix it for me. No. He had to respond. He had to do something. He wasn't just saved by grace, but he was saved by obedience. Obedience. Let's look some more at some of these doors. The door of safety. In Exodus 12:3, the judgment of Egypt was coming. Pharaoh had ordered all of the firstborn of the Jews to be killed. And so God said, listen, since you will not let my people go, I'm going to do the same thing that you pronounced on the Hebrew children. That's going to be your judgment. What you pronounced is going to be the judgment. Exodus 12:3, God told Moses, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. See, this was another door where the blood was applied. They were to take the blood from the lamb. They were to take a hyssop branch, dip it in the blood, and they were to daub the two side posts and the lintel. And you know the story. Everyone that was inside the house was saved, because at midnight, the death angel, the destroying angel, was going to come. But every time he saw the house with the blood, he passed over. He passed over. That's a door of salvation. That was modeled down to the T in Jesus Christ, right? For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. This judgment was not just against the people, it was against their gods, their demonic spirits. And I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that night became known as the Passover, because the destroying angel passed over every house where the door was marked with the lamb that was slain. The blood was a covering. And we see in Jesus Christ that he is our lamb slain, the Bible said, from the foundation of the world. And you need that blood applied, or else you don't get to be passed over. Isn't that amazing? When John the Baptist saw him, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And it's funny, because on the cross, what did they do? They took a branch of hyssop, right? They took the same branch that they used to take the blood and mark the door. They took that same branch was involved in the crucifixion. That same branch was involved in the crucifixion. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming and saith unto him, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, which just means truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He is the door. I am the truth, the way, and the life. John 10:9. He says this more than one time. He says it in John 10:7, and then in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. David knew something about that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Because of that, I shall not want. Right? He leadeth me. Besides what? Still waters. And he goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth. Jesus said, I am the door. That's why there was only one door in that huge boat that Noah built. One door. One door. And God shut the door. They had to daub the lintel and posts with a mark. In fact, that the way they dubbed it actually is a Hebrew letter. The last Hebrew letter looks like a door. The last Hebrew letter, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 characters. And the last one, it's called a tav, and it looks like a door. And in fact, you'll find that that was the mark that God used to designate those who were going to escape judgment. It's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, you'll see that same thing happens. They went and put a mark on all the ones who were going to escape. You know what our mark is today? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are sealed. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have been sealed. Amen. When the death angel comes, he's got to pass over. He's just got to pass over. I think about Paul when he was recounting all the things that happened to him. He said, thrice I was in the sea, in shipwrecks and in storms. I was beaten with rods. Five times I was beaten with 40 stripes minus one. Stoned, left for dead. Death angel couldn't kill him. Had to be passed over. I think about Jesus. And you read the book of John. And several times in there, they try to kill him. But it said it was not his time. The devil cannot kill you if it's not your time. Your life is hid in Christ. Amen. It can come not near you. You can have some storms. You can have some near misses. But it can't get you. Jesus, God told Satan, listen, you can make him sick. You can take away his money. But you cannot touch his life. That don't belong to you. His soul is mine. Yes, Satan can come and do some things. In one of the churches in the book of Revelation, he says he's going to cast some of you into prison even. You shall have tribulation 10 days. He's coming to try you, to see really, ask you that question. If thou be a son of God. Now, if Satan was bold enough to come and try and tempt Jesus, who would have thought? Who would have thought that Satan would actually come and try and tempt Jesus? He knew who he was. So Jesus told us the servant, that's me and you, is not greater than the master. So think it not strange, the fiery trials. Think it not, we're always surprised. Oh Lord, look what's happened now. Oh no, look at this new disaster. In this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. See, we're on enemy territory. I told you that before one time, right? If you're a soldier and you're surprised to get shot at, what kind of soldier are you? Especially when you're behind enemy lines. We are on enemy territory. It's not till Revelation 11, and I've said this so many times, till the angel puts one foot on the sand, one foot on the sea, and he swears by him that liveth forever and ever that the kingdoms of this world are now the kingdoms of our Christ. Until then, we're in a war. Amen. And that's why we need a door of protection. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. Do you know that the requirement for the blood on the lintel post was just that it had to be there. Nobody was stopped from going in and out the house. But you better be in the house when the death angel passed over. It's so sad. A lot of people are going to have been to church, maybe a lot of times. This person said, I think they text back, see you at Easter. I wonder if they know if they have till Easter. We're not promised tomorrow. I'll come to church at Easter. You remember, I saw a poster, and I've told you this before, and it was a picture of a coffin going into church, and it had six pallbearers, and the caption said, "Will it take six strong men to get you back to church?" Sometimes that's what it will take to get people back into church. It'll be six strong men carrying them back in. But by that time, whatever their fate is sealed. But we want to go into that door of protection when we can walk in. We can walk in. You know, I can imagine some people said, "This looks stupid, you daubing blood on a door. What's that going to do? This is stupid. I'm not going to stay inside that with all that blood on the door." I hope they weren't a firstborn. Because at midnight, the death angel came. And only those that were inside the house with the blood on the door was passed over. "I am the door. If by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." See, this is the thing, but is passed. This is what happened during the Passover. The angel passed over, but is passed from death unto life. I've told you before, if you have God's Holy Spirit, you're not going to die. It's going to be a change. Paul said that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And if it wasn't for my friends and family and you all, boy, that would look so appealing. Because I believe it now. I know where I'm going. The only thing I don't know is what my reward is going to be. And I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I know that my soul is sealed. But I don't want to go before him empty-handed and say, "Well, Lord, I brought myself. I managed to just make it in by the skin of my teeth. I just made it in." I don't want to just make it in. I want to be able to say, "Lord, you gave me one talent. I went and digged around, and here's two." And I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over little, so I'm going to give you some more." Amen. My only concern is, "Lord, have I done everything that I could with what you gave me?" I want to be able to appear before him and be joyful and know, "Lord, I did everything I could with my circumstance where I was." Amen. Because if you have gone through that door, the Bible says, but is passed from death unto life. You know, rejection, a closed door, and Christopher said it, is really redirection. Well, can't go through this door, have to go somewhere. So, sometimes I try, and I've been thinking about this many years ago, how do you make a major decision? How do you make a major decision? Especially when you got many choices. You could do this, could do this, you could do this, you could do this. You know what I pray? I say, "Lord, take away my choices. Just eliminate them, because if it's me, I'm going to pick the wrong one." That's my prayer. I say, "Lord, just give me one way. So when I have no choice, then I know this is the way. This is the only option I got. Okay? I lost my job, but that leaves me only one option." Here, look at this. Paul wanted to go to Asia to preach the gospel. Acts 16:6. "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia," the Bible doesn't explain why. Maybe God knew that there was going to be a plot to kill them. We don't know. Sometimes we try and do something, even for God's business, and the door doesn't open. Don't get mad at God. There may be a reason why he blocks that. There may be a reason to do with his will. Paul didn't get mad, but we find a little bit later that there was a more urgent need, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" God redirected him. The way to get to Asia wasn't open. But there was another door opened. So sometimes rejection is God's redirection. Can we give an amen when we're told, no, you don't have the job? Can you praise God when you don't get the thing you're asking for? That's true maturity. That's true trust. Because on the face of it, most of us are disappointed. You know when we really get disappointed is when we're on a high. When God has just done something wonderful for us. And then we get the rug pulled out. That's when we're liable to fall. But if when you're in your darkest moments, if when you've just been told no, when things look like they're crumbling, you can still say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. When you come to that point, the devil is going to just be scratching his head and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do with this person. I mean, I beat them up, all kinds of stuff. I put them through hell. Job's wife came to him and said, why don't you curse God and die? Think about that. Your best friend comes to you and says, you might as well give up. You're a loser. That's what she was telling him. You've been serving God all your life. Look what happens to you. You get sick unto death. Your children are, what kind of God is this you're serving? You're a loser. Why don't just curse God and die? Job must have had such great faith and trust. He said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I think when God sees such faith, there's no way he's going to let you die. There will be a door opened. Rejection is God's redirection. And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. See, if he'd gone to Asia, maybe he could not have got back to Macedonia in time. God knew there was a reason he had to go to Macedonia first. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. They stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. So even when you're doing something for God and it gets blocked, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. There may be a reason why God wants you to go in a different direction. You may not understand it right now. You may not see it right then. If you wait, it will be explained. It's just like when Jesus, starting his ministry, told all the people following him. They had just seen him feed 5,000 men. And so, of course, they were following everywhere because they wanted to do this every day. Give us the manna. Moses, if you're the prophet, Moses fed us for 40 years. Every day there was manna. Now, if you want us to believe, you do the same thing. They were following him for the food. Many times, because this church is in the directory, we get calls for people, and they just want money or something. They don't really want God. You know, we try and help them if we can. We try and meet the needs. There was one gentleman one Tuesday night I left out here. Well, several. This has happened several times. And he needed a bus ticket to Minnesota, and long story. But anyway, people will look for God for the miracles, not for salvation. Not for salvation. Jesus said to them, listen, you're only following because you saw what I did with the bread and the loaves. But do you really want salvation? There's going to be some tribulation with it. There's going to be some suffering with it. Amen. So what I'm trying to say, when you get blocked, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Remember the most important three words of Romans 8:28? Anyone tell me? You've all said it. And we know. The most important words of that verse is, and we know that all things work together. Because people can say all things work together for the good, but they don't believe it. But when you can say, and we know, all I can tell you that God has made that verse come alive in my life. I've been disappointed many times and then come to realize it was God's redirection. I didn't get this thing. I didn't get what I thought I should get. But he closed that door just to open another one. This is what happened to Paul. He was going to Asia. God closed that door, but he opened another one. Amen? This is what we're going to look for. And you know, even in a storm, look at this, Acts 27:20. And when neither this Paul had been arrested, and he was going to be taken to Rome to be hauled before Caesar, and before they left the last port, he had warned them, you know, you better stay here and not go in the ship. He had told them that the weather could get bad, but they ignored him. And so as soon as they left the island of Crete, here comes a big storm. And this went on for days. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And I now exhort you to be of good cheer. Verse 22, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Remember what I said? You can lose material things. I've lost a car before. My wife has lost almost a brand new car before. Lost a house before in a fire. And her car wasn't even in the house and it still got burned up. But here we are today, still standing. Paul told him, listen, the ship is going to be lost. All the baggage is going to be lost. But no lives will be lost. Right? Every loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night. Here's the door of protection. The angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. When you can say that. When you say, this is who I serve. This is who I stand beside. You have a door of protection. And the angel said, fear not, Paul. Listen, your mission is not complete. I've told you before, you can't die if you have a mission. I didn't come up with that statement, but many, many years ago, we had a missionary to Africa come to our church. And he was telling all of the things that happened to him, how they had been ambushed and how, you know, in Africa and guns pointed at them. But he's still here. And he said he learned that you cannot die if you have a mission. You know what that means we should all do? Get a mission. Because if you are on a mission from God, until you complete that mission, you can't die. Now, you may lose a lot of stuff, but you can't die. Amen. So I want to make sure I have a mission. And then when my mission is over, then it's fine. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. The angel told him, listen, you are going to testify. You're going to bring this message all the way to the emperor. God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, the thing about being a Christian is you can end up saving other people. I used to fly a lot for my job. And years ago, one time, I was in, I forget where it was, Missouri, maybe Branson, Missouri. And I was supposed to catch a flight from there to St. Louis, which is not very far by plane. It's like maybe half an hour flight. And it was, I think, nearly the last flight out, and it was late. And when it came, I forgot what the reason. They had some, and I got on the plane, and it was like a DC-90, and it was like a 100-and-something plane. And there were two of us on this plane. So I thought, well, they'll cancel this flight. They're not going to fly this plane for two of us. And the devil was just speaking to me. He says, okay, you see? Now this is the plane that's going to crash. See? See, God's just wanting so that he gets you. You know, the devil can play on your mind. I was looking at this plane. I thought, I've never been on a plane that's been this empty. There was just two of us. And there were five stewardesses and there were five crew and there's two passengers. I thought, they're going to cancel this plane. No, they didn't. So the devil started playing upon my mind. You know, this is the one that crashes. And so they said, well, you might as well come up into first class because there's only two of you. And I went up into first class. Now, something happened as he was taxiing. I forgot what it was, but there was a huge bang and there was something that kind of went wrong. And so the devil said, I told you. See, this is the one. This is the one that crashes. But you know what came to me after that? Listen, you have a mission. You can't die yet. And God will protect other people just to save you. Did you know that? He told Paul, because you're on this ship, I'm going to give you everybody else's life. Everybody else is going to be saved because you're on this ship, Paul. Because you're on this ship. Wherefore, sirs, he told them, be of good cheer, for I believe God that that it shall be given as it was told me, a door of protection. Even in a storm, God can protect you. Even when the winds and waves, even when there's destruction, God can protect you. Like many of us right now may be going through some storms. They're not storms you can see, but they're storms nonetheless, where there's winds of pressure and hurt and destruction that from Satan. You know, he can do that. It was Satan that brought the tornado that killed Job's family, right? It was Satan that did that. But listen to this. The angel of the Lord, whom I serve, whose God I serve, told me, fear not. When the devil comes, just remember this, fear not, fear not, fear not. Because even in a storm, there can be a door of protection. Amen? The Bible says that he will give his angels what? Charge over thee. I told you that the door sometimes is a door of opening, of protection. The Pharisees had arrested Peter. They had killed James. And they thought, well, we'll kill Peter too. Because it was a way to stop the church progressing. In Acts 12, verse 5. But here's something that's been pointed out before. Peter was facing execution the next day. What was he doing? He was sleeping. Which of us would be sleeping knowing we're going to be killed the next day? That's to show you how much his life was hidden. He was going to be executed the next day, and he's sleeping. In fact, the angel had trouble waking him up. Fear not. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And if you read the story, there were at least three doors just opened up as he walked to them. You know, a few times now I go and visit different prisons, and I always kind of take note of the way the doors are. I think there's about five doors. The last one that you go through before you can visit the prisoner, it opens up and you go in, and then it shuts behind you, and then the other one opens up so that you can't, there's never two doors open. Never two doors open. And when I go in there, I always think about Peter, how the angel of the Lord came and just opened up the doors. If you're in a prison today, if Satan has got you bound, if he's threatening your life, your spiritual life, you just start using the weapons God has given you. Because he said, I have set before you an open door. And when I open it, no man can shut it. They had guards right there on either side of him. That didn't stop God. Nothing is impossible. He is able to deliver you out of whatever situation you're in. I'm a testament to that. I'm a testament to that. Amen. Sister.
I recall a time when the police had called me and told me that my son had got robbed. And he told me afterwards that, Mom, when they was hitting me in my head with sticks and bats, he said it was blinking black and white. So when I got there, they asked him, they said, who's this? He said, I don't know. And I fell to my knees, and I was like, Jesus, Jesus. And the police officer was like, get up. I'm like, I'm in a panic, and that's the only name I know to call right now, and that's who I'm going to call. So in about 4 to 6 hours, my son regained his memory of who I was. So I thank God for
that. Amen. Amen. That's the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's a name above every name. And so, yes, if you're in trouble, that's all you can say is Jesus. Call it out. They tried to shut the blind man up too. You're making a fuss. You know what he did? He called out the more, Jesus, thou son of David. He wasn't going to let his eyesight, his opening of his eyes pass by him without making a fuss. If there was a possibility that this man who he had heard of opening blinded eyes, you see, God can open anything, not only doors. He can open a way. He can open a direction. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us that in Psalm 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I don't know if I've ever seen an angel. I don't know. There have been a couple things that have happened to me that kind of strange, so I don't know how to explain. I told you I was in a crash on 94 a few years ago, and I hit some water that was on there, and I didn't realize there was still water there, and the car started fishtailing, and I couldn't control it, and I was probably doing 50 or 60 miles an hour, and finally it hit the wall face on. And that wasn't the bad part, but I was in the fast lane, and I was sure there were some semi-trucks right behind me. I mean, right behind me. So it wasn't even just a crash. That was bad enough, but I thought, in the instant, I thought, they're going to hit me. They were right behind me. But God delivered me. And almost instantaneously, the car was squashed flat. And on my left and on my right side was a man and a woman. I don't know where they came from. One said he was an off-duty policeman. The other one said she was a nurse. And they got me out of the car, and I looked up and down myself. And then suddenly the police came, and those two people disappeared. I don't know what they were, where they were from. But if your life is hid in Christ, if you have a mission, you can't go before that mission. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Maybe there was times, you know, growing up when I wanted to do wrong, God shut that door. Keep thee in all thy ways, in all thy ways. Let me show you a door that was shut that wasn't quite the door you think of. They threw Daniel in the lion's den, right? But even the king wanted to get him out. He came and said, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. They shut him in a door. Satan will throw you in a den of lions thinking, that's it, you're finished. I got him now. There's no way out of this situation. He's finished. She's finished. They thought they had got Daniel because they had caught him praying, worshiping his God 3 times a day. They passed a law just to kind of trap him. Satan will try and set you up to trap you, to put you in a situation where he can condemn you and throw you in the lion's den. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, listen to what the king said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver you. See, Daniel wasn't using God as a fire escape. He served him continually. Do you know when you get on a plane, one of the first things they start, the stewardess will say, now we have to go through the safety talk. And they say, there's 2 exits, here and here. You know what they're showing you? The way of escape. That's my message. I shouldn't tell you that yet. But there's a way of escape. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. Satan shut the door. Satan shut the door and thought that was it. There wouldn't be nothing left to Daniel. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Jumping down to verse 20. And when he came to the den, and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God. Now that's a title I would like. I don't want to be bishop, apostle, anything. But if you can call me servant of the living God. Ooh, that's a great title. Because a servant doesn't do what he wants to do. He does what the master tells him to do. The king said, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the door of the lion's mouth. See, sometimes the door of protection is shutting it. Sometimes in the case of Peter, it was opening it. But it is a door of protection. If you let God control the door, he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. It didn't say that there will not be storms in your life, but you can still have peace. There was a great famous artist, and he was commissioned to paint this picture of peace. And, you know, the commission was hundreds of thousands of dollars to paint this great picture. And the theme of it, the people who commissioned him, was one of peace. And it was for some great museum. And on the day of the opening, all these rich and famous people came to see the opening of this museum and this great picture about peace. And they took off the covering off the picture. And in the picture, there was this huge storm and wind and leaves blowing everywhere. And lightning and thunder. And everyone like gasped. This isn't peace. Everybody started saying. And so finally they asked the artist, hey, we asked you to paint a picture of peace. And he said, are you looking carefully? Right at the center of the storm was a little nest in a tree. And a bird was sleeping. Peace. Peace. See, it's not that this world is going to be peaceful. But you can have a peace that passes human understanding. Why? Because you serve a God continually. Daniel said, listen, king, the God that I serve has sent his angel and hath shut the door of the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. The key here, the king said, the God whom thou servest continually. Now, sometimes God will allow us to use him as a fire escape. You know, people show up to church when they're in trouble, and that's okay. But God would rather that we be like Daniel, that we have a relationship. I have no relationship with Bill Gates, so I can't ask him for help. You know, he probably gets a million letters a week saying, telling him some very sad, maybe true story, but he doesn't know them. He has no relationship. But if you have a relationship with someone who is much richer than Bill Gates, who has much more power than the President of the United States, Jesus said, you can ask in my name, and I will do it. Amen? Hallelujah. O King, the God whom I have served, send his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. God has done that for me so many times when there have been circumstances when I know people are just trying to get me. I just relax because the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine. In fact, in Matthew 18, I didn't put it in here, but he said, don't touch one of my little ones. Don't you understand that their angels, their guardians, always behold my face? It was better that a millstone was put around someone's neck than they go and touch one of my little ones. You don't have to fight. If you're God's child, all you have to do is call his name. Call his name. If you could stand with me. There's coming an hour on this world of temptation. I think it was a famous writer, Irish writer, may have heard his name, Oscar Wilde. I think he was an atheist, I'm not sure. But he said, I can resist everything except temptation. But there is an hour of temptation that's coming upon this world. But here's what the promise to the Philadelphia church is. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. 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 What does patience mean? Wait. Waiting. That means whatever you're going through right now, you may not have seen it solved right away. Patience. Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as of an eagle. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. I'm a person that doesn't have a lot of patience. That's why I don't like shopping. The only way I shop now is Amazon. I don't like going to stores. I have no patience. Give me patience and I want it now. But if we're going to be Christians, we're going to have patience. God has a perfect time for everything. Our time is now, but it may not be God's time. Paul wanted to go to Asia, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit's time. If we just wait, we will see why it is we had to wait. I've told you this story that if God had fixed my mortgage problem early, it would have been worse for me. He let it go for 16 months, so I had the house for 16 months. Then he delivered me. He could have delivered me after 6 months, but that wouldn't have been as great a miracle. I'd have only been out 6 months. He could have come and healed Lazarus of the flu. But that wasn't such a great a miracle as when after he came, after 4 days being in the grave, and said, "Lazarus, come forth." There was no denying his deity then when he brought someone back from the dead. Sometimes God wants to get glory in your situation. Sometimes it has to get to the point where it dies. I've said this before. Jesus knew Lazarus was sick, and he waited a little bit longer. God has a perfect timing. God wants to get glory in your situation. He wants to get glory in your situation. So when you're looking at something that is very dire, and you're thinking, "Lord, now would be a good time," patience. It may get to the point where your Lazarus dies, but watch what God can do. When he came, he told Martha, said, "Listen, if you had been here, I know he would not have died." But then she says, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask God," he says, "don't you believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Whatever your dead situation is, when he opens that door, no one can shut it. And if he closes that door, no one can open it." Amen. I'm telling you, this month, the theme is an open door. God has set before us an open door. The key is, who do you want to have control of that door? If you like the Laodicean church, he's outside knocking. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That church never gave him control. But the Philadelphia church, he had control of the door. He said, "And when I have control, I can open it, I can shut it." If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we just thank you today that you have set before us an open door. Lord, we ask you right now to let our faith rise.